The Book of Mormon says in the latter part of the Book of Mormon, how to tell between the truth and a lie. And you know the truth, and you know the impact of God, you know when he's in it, you know when he has breathed it, when he's encouraged it. When you do good, you love your neighbor, you serve the Lord, you respond to his overture. Well, as I look right here, I believe not because me or Darren here, but you have made the right decision. There's a whole lot of places you could be. You could be thinking a whole lot of different thoughts. You could be somewhere else. You could even be here, but not really here. And I'm convinced, though, that when we respond and when we listen to the counsel of God, we're under his jurisdiction. We're under his prerogative. He's leading us. I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna talk about. Kind of a strange, funny word right here, but it's all through the scriptures. And I'm going to talk about being reconciled. Reconciled to God. Reconciled to one another. Brother Leslie, I'm gonna try to tell this straight right here, and you stand up if I'm not saying it right. His father, Maynard Case, Brother Maynard. Beloved Maynard, we love that man. He tells a story that when he was a young man, that he was in a service, and he was in a communion service. And they had the man in charge that was in charge, and of course the man in charge, he's making sure that we're all on the right page and that we're all dutifully seated, we're here together in the Lord's name. And they're going to have a communion. So they had that communion, and the assistants were helping the man in charge passed the communion. And as they passed the communion from person to person, they got to this one man. Am I all right, Brother Leslie, so far? They got to this one man. And this one man was about to take the communion, and the man in charge stood up. Don't you take it. Don't you take it, right? Until you've made it right with your neighbor. That man immediately stood up, and he walked out the back door. The service continued on. By and by, he came back. He came back, and he sat down. The man in charge says, "It's all right. He has done just exactly what the favor of God is." Well, that's being reconciled. He was reconciled to his neighbor. Now, there's a scripture I'm going to read right here in the Bible. And it has to do just exactly with that. It says, "Therefore, if thou," and this is Matthew, the 5th chapter, and the 23rd and the 24th verse. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar," you come here to church, you want to kneel, you want to pray, you want to serve the Lord, you have come and you've got your gift. My life is a gift. I'm bringing this gift to you, God. It says, "If you come with your gift, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee," 24th verse, "leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Just exactly what happened in Brother Maynard's experience. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about here, and some of the pages out of the Book of Mormon we're going to deal with. But we're going to be talking about reconciled. Kind of like in a marriage, maybe a man and his wife are estranged from each other. You hear this legally. They're estranged from each other. They can't eat at the same supper table there. They can't hardly stand each other. But within each person, there is a desire. There's got to be a way. Well, the way is to be reconciled to one another. And so, husband, I'm trying to straighten myself out. Husband, what is it that I can do to make our marriage better? He says, "You can do this, this, and this." And he's gonna say, "Now, wife, what can I do to make this marriage better? You need to do this, this, and this." They agree on those terms there, they're reconciled. They got peace. They got a marriage. They're going somewhere. They did the right thing. Well, that's a little bit about what we're gonna talk about reconciliation. 2 Nephi, the 7th chapter and the 41st verse, page 115, says this: "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God. And not the will of whom? Not the will of whom? The devil and the flesh. Reconcile yourself to the way of God. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. We had Bible school here some years ago, and we had all the kids out there in the playground, and it was time for study classes, and we went out there and said, come on, kids, we got to go on in. We got good classes. We got crafts we're going to do. Come on in. They all come in but one little boy out there playing by himself. Well, come on in here. I don't want to. But you have to. But I don't want to. Well, he's not reconciled us. And of course, the strong arm of the law compelled him to do what he should be doing. But this is what this is talking about. My beloved brethren, reconcile yourself to the will of God. What is the will of God? How do we know the will of God? We kind of was touching on it just a little bit in our Sunday school class. The will of God is spoken by the Word of God. We read the Word of God, and as we're reading the Word of God, you're going to know what His will is. You're going to see real fast what He likes and what He doesn't like, what He wants you to do and what He doesn't want you to do. The will of God. Reconcile. Come up to speed to that will. Come up to this. Change your tune from what that little boy said right here. He said, but I don't want to. To, I want to. I want to. It's hard. I can't hardly do it, but I want to. Lord's, he looks at us and he says, I think we got some material to work with. I think maybe we're making some progress. But when we're standing before God, and he knows that, just like that little, I've said this before, but it's precious in my sight. Little girl right here, dad told her to sit down. She said, I don't want to sit down. He says, sit down. I don't want to sit down. Sit down. All right. But I'm standing up in my heart. Well, where is that in us? How is that in us? We are, and I believe this, we are under the counsel of God every moment of your life. I believe that. I believe the presence of God is ever present in every heart, in every experience, in every atmosphere, in every direction. He is around and he is there working hard. Working hard to bring to pass the kingdom. And he's knocking at our door. And he's talking to us. And he says, Randy, this is my will. And I'm sorry to say, and it has happened, and it does happen, but I'm praying for changes. I want to get reconciled to God. You know, God, here he is up over yonder there, and he's looking at earth. And what a sorry mess this is. It is. He made it right. He made it good. When God made it together, and you read it in your pages of Genesis there, you can see it right here. And he's talking, and he's saying this publicly, it's good. And at the very end there, it's very good what we've made. This is good. But something happened, it didn't take very long. And it don't look so good. And what the Lord is looking, he says, is there anybody out there who's willing to reconcile themselves to me? You know what I did? God speaking. You know what I did? I want to tell you, I want to show you and give you an idea of what my kind of love I've got. I'm sending my son. And he's coming down. And he's going to be touching every one of us. I'm wanting to be reconciled to you. What have you done? What are you willing to do to be reconciled to me? So he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourself to the will of God. Now, here's a horrifying thought. If you happen to be lying, if you happen to be cheating, if you happen to be dirty dogging, if you're doing some wicked thing, if you're thinking some wicked thought, if you can't forgive, if you can't reconcile yourself to the neighbor, you know whose will you're in? Mark it down and take it to the bank or take it to the poorhouse. You're doing the will of the devil. When you're there and you know what you should do, you know that this is what God wants. He has told me this. I feel it. He's talking to me right here. But I'm not going to do it. You're reconciled to the devil. and to the flesh. And we know what happens to both of them. Here's another scripture in the 42nd verse of the same page, 115. And remember, after we are reconciled unto God, that it is only in and through the grace of God that ye are saved. Boy, you know, that sounds like right out of the Baptist manual. Well, that's what, you know, a whole lot of people have a problem with us, is it? Because that little Book of Mormon right there, that isn't talking about the grace of God. It doesn't talk about the truth right here. And you just heard it right there out of your own Book of Mormon. It's by the grace of God that we are saved. But it's by the grace of God. The grace of God comes when we are reconciled to that God and his grace. 2 Nephi, the 11th chapter and the 43rd verse. For we labor diligently to write. How many here, this is not a condemnation, this is just a question to ask yourself. How many here are diligently involved in the cause of Christ? We're diligently making a paycheck, getting a paycheck. We're diligently being there, making sure that we're on time, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock on the job right here, and I want to make sure I'm off at 4:30, just exactly on time. I've got a nice yard, and I've got a nice house, and I've got a nice place. Things are rolling, they're going good, but in whose perspective? Well, here he's talking about, he says, for we labor. What that says to me, we the Church of Christ labor. We're engaged. We're involved. We are looking and writing it and thinking and engaged in the work of God. We had a meeting last night. I'm proud to say it. I wasn't there, though. The meeting last night was a bunch of our people got together. And what are they asking? What can we do for our young people? Met long for a long time. And before that meeting, and going to be afterwards, there's going to be a whole lot of diligent thinking. There's going to be a whole lot of diligent effort. What can I do with these boys here on the front row or on the back row? What can I do to help invest in them this knowledge that we have right here of the workings of God? And so they labor, for we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. We are working hard. We are looking at our kids. We are, did you get that? We got Sunday school class right here. Did you hear what the teacher was teaching you? Do you believe that? Do you have any questions? Mom and dad who are diligent, that's what they do. They are involved in this great work there. Our kid is on his way to heaven right here, and we're doing our best to make sure that he's going to get there. And I know it's nothing but the grace of God that does it right here, but it sure helps when mom and dad are employed and involved and reconciled. And that kid is being taught reconciliation. That kid, instead of a blasphemous kid, a kid that is a sorrow to his mother and a sorrow to his father, right? That kid is growing up, and he knows order. And he knows when mom and dad are telling the truth. And he knows when he hears it right here that it's right. And he's reconciled to his parents there, and he wants to do the right thing. What a kid! What a wonderment! What a blessing that is to both the parents and to God Almighty and to his eternal life. And so they're working hard, laboring diligently, and they're pressing the point. Be my son. I want you to understand the rules right here. I want you to understand what I'm telling you right here. But the foregone conclusion is that it's for God. Be reconciled to what God wants you to do. I'm gonna get into a little history here. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. Most of you probably know right here. Gary's ahead of me. But I go back to the close of the Second World War. And I remember coming up through grade school and so forth. I remember the closing days of the Second World War. I mean, I remember hearing about those that had just happened 3 or 4 years before me. And what I remember and what I know is that there was a hard battle fought. There was a battle that was to end all wars. Was the Second World War. And finally, the United States and England and the Allied powers, they won the battle. And they got the Germans, and most notably what I remember is they got the Japanese. Emperor Hirohito, or whatever that guy's name is, on the, I think it was the battleship Missouri. On the battleship Missouri. And what happened? Did America say, well, Emperor, you know, Solovia, well, we want your agreement with us. No, Eisenhower and those leaders right here says, Hirohito, these are the terms of your surrender. If you don't surrender, you're going to be annihilated. You understand that? And they understood that. And we had the peace accord, and we had the termination of the Second World War. Unconditional surrender. Well, I tell you what, we as human beings right here, we don't like the sound of that. We don't like the sound right here. You know, I may surrender just a little bit. I'm going to surrender Sunday morning here. Oh, it's so hard. I've got to get up. I'm going to surrender Sunday morning to the Lord. That's not surrender. That's a partial deflection. God wants unconditional surrender. He wants his children, when he speaks, those diligence, those workers for the kingdom's sake, those that pray every day, thy kingdom come, engaged in total surrender. What is it that you want me to do? I'm ready. Here am I. Send me. It was several years later that we had the Cuban Missile Crisis. And the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I remember that. In fact, there's certain members of our church right here, this is not a condemnation, built bomb shelters for the coming nuclear attack from our enemy, Russia, to come down upon our own houses. I remember those days. I remember, you know, we would be in class right here, and the teacher would hustle us all out and says, okay, get under your tables or under your chairs or go down to the back room or the furnace room, whatever. We've got to get ready. You know, we've got to be practicing, you know, for that ultimate day that Russia's going to attack us and blow us to smithereens. And what happened there is it didn't happen because strong men came against Nikita Khrushchev. Strong men came against Cuba and said, remove those missiles or we'll bomb you to oblivion. Unconditional surrender. And it was right. That's what God wants. If we don't unconditionally surrender to God, we have a nuclear bomb resident within us. We have the means to destroy and to maim and to hurt and to thwart the will of God. You can't thwart the will of God right here, but that's the devil's operation. And it's only when we see it God's way, reconciled our way to God's way. I see it your way. It's hard. I can't hardly bear to think about it, but here am I. Give me strength, and I want to do what you want me to do. I don't want our boys to hear this too much, right? When I was about 11, 12 years old, I got a pocket knife. And I kept that pocket knife in my pocket. Well, I don't know what I was doing. I can't tell you. Probably I was a bad boy. But I was out at night somewhere. And I'm walking back home at night. And now you boys, I don't want you thinking the wrong thing here. So I'm coming home, and some ruffians appeared. And they're looking menacingly at me, and I felt endangered. All I'm going to say is I did something with my pocket knife. And I got out of there. And I came home proud of myself, how brave I was, and boy, I tell you, they don't mess with me. I told my mom and dad. This is what I did. My dad come out of the chair. What? You did what? I may have to rethink this. I understood right there that I was not reconciled to the ways of the household, the ways that were right. I wasn't reconciled to that. So it wasn't too long after that that I don't know where I got it. I got a book. And it wasn't the library. You'll understand why it wasn't from the library. But I got a book from somewhere. Some friend, somebody gave me a book. I got this book. And my room was upstairs, and I'd go upstairs there and read my book. Well, my absence there at the household right here was kind of a wonder. My parents right here and said, "Well, Randy, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm reading a book." "Well, bring it down here so we can take a look at it." All right. I brought the book down. It says, "Let me look at it." Take that book and tear it up. What? I'm beginning to get it. There's reconciliation needed here. For me to have peace in the family, for me to have any kind of peace and away from tread wear on my other side right here, I had to be reconciled to God, reconciled to my parents, reconciled to authority. I went through, and this is not notable right here. Those of you who are my age, you know just exactly what we're talking about. But I believe the decay of America happened during the 60s, my years. Those were the years, and I knew them, and I was going through school, and I even went through college right here. And those were the years of freedom. We want freedom. We don't want nobody to tell us what we can do. We want to do whatever we want to do. Don't want to have anybody disagree with what we're doing. We want to be free. Be absolutely free. Free as what? Free as a dog. I want to be as free as a dog. Well, I have to believe that with God and my parents, I was sustained. I was held up with a divergent thought. I didn't have some of those thoughts. I remember I had a friend right here, and he was describing what it is to maybe have a little marijuana. And he was describing it. How, ooh. I don't want to get into too much description here. But there was something in me. And I believe it was because I was reconciled. And I'm not implying one thing, and get it out of your minds if you're thinking that I'm trying to toot any horn right here or trying to say I'm somebody and I don't have mistakes and make mistakes, I do. But I believe that God comes in and he moves the furniture of reconciliation into your heart. It moves it in there, and it's there that you can eat with him and sup with him and dine with him and hear him and know him and hear him clucking his tongue, if I can say that. Can hear him saying, "That's not appropriate. That's not something that one of my children would do. I don't think that you should do that." And so that passing of the hippie years passed right over me. I wasn't compelled by it. I didn't have friends, and there wasn't any circumstances in my life that gnawed on me, because I believe the power of reconciliation was in me. And with those words, like Enos, you read out of your Book of Mormon, where Enos reflecting the counsel of God through his parents and from God himself to keep us reconciled. I'll do it your way. I'm going to obey your way. It's hard. I can't hardly do it. But I want to do it your way. And the Lord says, "I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make the good happen." We don't have to be laden under the burden of some sin and some crazy attitude or some stinking thinking or something that corrupts us and turns us away from God. We don't have to be under that. And we can go to God who's got that free gift of his son. And he gives that gift and he says, I'm coming to the table with you, boy. He says, you going to meet me there? And you'll be changed. And you'll be different. Bible says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him and he with me. Behold, I stand at the door. He's not kicking your door in. He's not going to compel you. He's not going to have some little magic that says, you know, now you should come to church. You should read the scriptures. You should not hold that against your neighbor. You should be kinder and gentler. You should obey. You should love the Lord. You should get out of the world. You're just knocking. And my take on that scripture is that he's still knocking. He's patient. He didn't kick your door in. He didn't rattle the timbers. He didn't yell up through the window right here. He's just gently knocking. And when we open that door, he says, I'll come in and I'll sup with you and you with me. When he comes in, there's a whole different perspective. We want that. Under the will and the desire of the enemy, Satan right here, we know what the end result is. Can I say this? This is my own little thought right here. How long is eternity? Is it 1 year? Is eternity 10 years? Is eternity 100 years? Is eternity eternal? Forever? Well, what we're making decisions whether I'm going to reconcile myself to God is going to put me in the forever class. If we get reconciled to Jesus, if we get reconciled to God right here, we are in that for good for eternity based on our determination to be reconciled now, this life. But on the other hand, if we're not going to do it, I can't do it, I don't want to do it, I got more time. I'm just not listening to you right now. I've got more important events. Then we're putting ourselves into the column there forever, 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 burning in torment, darkness, based on what we want to do. I don't want to come in. I don't want to do that. And I'm saying that most of us right here, it's a decision that we make. And I don't want to do that. I want to go to the pool hall. And yeah, I know church is tonight right here, but that's what I do. I'm gonna go to the pool hall. I'm gonna go out and honky tonking with my buddies right here because that's what we do. You know, I was here, don't let this condemn you necessarily so. What date was Super Bowl Sunday? What day was it? Sunday. Well, I was very happy, and I was thinking this very judgmental thought. I'm sorry. I'm thinking this very judgmental thought. I'm sitting right there, and I'm looking around. Reconcilers against the Super Bowl are here. Those that had made the decision, I'm going to be here. Yeah, and I want to tell you, I wanted to see that game more than anything that you would ever believe. But I know that there's an appointment made. And I know at 10 o'clock, 9:45, at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, there is an appointment made by the Lord himself. I'm going to be here. Will we be there? My mother always used to say that. She said, well, I'm going to make sure that I'm in every service. Well, why, Mom? Why? Because that may be the service that the Lord has come back. That may be where his presence is there transforming lives. That may be there where my aunt, who's been crippled all of her life, is raised from her cripplehood. The blind man that you may know right here, he came and the hands were laid on him and we saw that. And we believe it. And I'm reconciled. At the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve there were faced with, and Jesus the same thing, faced with temptation. Jesus and Adam and Eve and us all. And one thing that I've discovered is that the temptations, there's five or six of them, not much more than that, maybe less, that the devil has. He corrupts most of mankind. Most of mankind bow at his feet. Most of mankind right here cannot say no to the devil. They can't say no to their own vices. They can't do it. And so those little temptations of the flesh, of the mouth, of the ears, of the eyes, that's how the devil comes. He always comes in that same way. And so here are three guys that I got in mind right here that are thinking about and are overruled by the reconciliation of the devil. One of them is Zeezrom in your Book of Mormon. You find that in the Alma 10:41, page 353. And old Zeezrom was old Ironside, the lawyer in reverse. Zeezrom was a wicked man to the max. Zeezrom was in this, he was a criminal lawyer right here, and he was in this to destroy humankind. He had devised, and they get all the people together and all the believers together, and especially the women and the children, they got them all together right here, and he is overpowering and persuasive. And everybody is standing there and they begin nodding their heads. They begin to say, "We believe you, Caesar. We believe you. That's right." And the march began to hell. And he caused the burning death of a bunch of women and children. All because this man right here would not yield to or be reconciled to the will of God. And that was Zeezrom. And then here's another guy by the name of Alma, the son of Alma. Alma, the son of Alma, was a persuasive, talkative guy. He was smooth-lipped. He was silver-tongued. He was the kind of guy right here who said, "Well, I don't believe in handling snakes right here, but he's convinced me. I think I can do it." He, whatever he says right here, it seems so good, and I think it seems right, and I'm going to go down that parade with him. Alma was an idolatrous man. He was a wicked man. He was against the church and against his own father, and went about secretly undermining and causing the downfall of everything that God and his father Alma and all the prophets before them had tried to do, to imbue in the people. And they were falling left and right for Alma, the son of Alma, a wicked man. And do you not think that God knows who that wicked man is? Do you not think that Zeezrom, when all he has done and he has been the murderer of women and children, do you don't think that God knows that? Well, here's another guy for you, and he was a major assassin for the people of God. You know what his name was? Paul. You got it. Paul, a major murderer of the ways of God. Paul going about since he was a young man. Since a young man, the Bible says, young man there, remember who it was that got stoned? What was his name? Stephen. And Stephen right there, and he's having an experience. He sees the throne of God. He's looking at it. And they pick up those people that have reconciled themselves to the devil. They pick up the stones, and before they stones, lest we get our coats dirty, lest we dirty our hands right here, young man, take these coats. And who was the one that held those coats in agreement? Saul, Paul. I'm going to talk about parents just a little bit. There's a scripture in the Bible, and you find this in Matthew 22:12. Bible talks about that the king had a reception for his son's wedding. And he's invited everybody that's anybody to come to this reception. And so they come. And so they come to the reception there, and the king, he's a proud papa. And here is his son's wedding is on. And so the king is going from table to table, and he's talking to the people that come to the wedding. "I thank you for coming to the wedding. That was, you have blessed my son, you have blessed me. Thank you very much. May good things happen in your life, my words. Table to table. And there's a table over there yonder there with one man sitting. And that one man sitting there, he's got his flip-flops on. He's got his hairy legs hanging out. He's got his shirt cut down here down to his navel. He's got his kinky hairdo. He don't smell very good. He don't look like he ought to be at a wedding. And the king comes to him and says, do you know where you're at? Yeah, this is some sort of a wingding right here. No, this is a wedding, my words. This is a wedding. And at a wedding, who taught you? Where did you get your knowledge, your understanding? Where did it come from? Well, I don't know where I got it. You know, I thought this is all right. My flip-flops, my T-shirt, my shorts right here, my unkempt hair right here, my wild behavior. I eat with my feet on the table. Yeah, what's wrong with that? Nobody taught you how it is. And he says, get him and take him out and burn him. That's pretty severe right here, but that's Jesus' words. He was not reconciled. He'd been hearing it. I know he heard it. The Bible says that the Spirit of God is given to every man to profit withal. He heard the Word of God. He knows the Word of God. I don't want to do it. I'm not coming in. I don't like to do that. Boy, as my dad would say to me, you better change your attitude in your mind right now. Trouble is headed your way. Somewhere there's got to be a reconciliation, and the Lord knows where that button is. He knows where that moment is. He knows where reconciliation has come to an end. And I've been trying to reconcile with you. I came and I brought my son. I came here and the table was set and we got good things to eat and I'm ready for you to enter in. And you don't want to. You made up your mind it's going to be some other date, God. I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. And so I see, you know, the deadly responsibility, and I know it. I want to tell you this right here. I raised 5 kids. This is not a brag. And some of those kids have departed. But you know what I hang on to? Train up what? Train up who? A child. Pray. That's our job. In the Bible, I'm talking about reconciliation. Young man, the first Nephi, he's got 2 good, responsive, obedient brothers, right? Those guys are stinkers. Laman and Lemuel. He's got these boys. They heard the same messages from his dad. They heard the visions that his dad had. They knew the will of God. They got it in them. They heard the same thing. There's no difference between the three and what they heard. Their ears are all good. And his dad comes up and says, and you know the story, the dad says, boy, he says, the Lord's told me, he says, that you got to go back. What do you mean you got to go back, Dad? You got to go back? But that's 100 miles. Or that's 200 miles, however distance it is. That's a long time through the desert. We got to go back. What are we going to go back for? You got to go back and get the place. Are the place important? Yes, they're important. This is important. And you know what? Young Nephi said, the Lord does not ask anything, save he hath prepared the way whereby we can do it. The Lord's asking us. He's asking us as believers, as those that have reconciled ourselves to the will of God and not the flesh and not the devil. We have reconciled ourselves to him. And we're not like Laman and Lemuel. Why? We can't do that. But we're like Nephi. The Lord's made a way. He's provided the way. It will happen. It will be done. I love that kind of faith. I love when you stand in your testimonies and you say that very thing. When you stand up and you say, I'm trusting in the Lord for this. I don't see how it's possible, but the Lord, if it's right, will make a way. Back to Alma, the son of Alma. Well, who is the one majorly responsible for his repentance besides God and Jesus? It was his daddy. And his dad set up a prayer vigil. Dad spread the word out. Would we as parents do that? I want you to pray for my son, Luke. The vigil went down. They were praying for Alma, who's unconscious at the time. Alma is, he's somewhere between here and hell. I don't understand just exactly where and how deep right here, but he's somewhere between here and hell. And those prayers are going up. God is hearing those prayers. And he dispatched a mighty angel. You know the story. And Alma says, I was in the pit of hell. I was in the bowels of infirmity and I was in a terrible condition. But I have been revived. I have believed. I have reconciled myself to God. And I'll tell you what, God, when I come back, I'm going to be somebody a whole lot different than what I was. And was he? Alma, the son of Alma, dynamic servant of God, totally sold out and yielded and reconciled his will and his desires to God and do with me what you want. What kind of a local would we have? What kind of kingdom would God have if we all thought that way and we all did it that way and we're all emptied of ourselves right here and we're filled up with the will of God and I'm about my Father's business. Zeezrom. Same guy, silver-tongued, corrupter of mankind, a lying, stinking lawyer. Well, when the people got burned up, the women and the children got burned up, he discovered and says, you know, I've been peddling the wrong tune. I've been saying the wrong things. I can hear their anguish and their cries, and it's getting to me. And he crawled in his bed, and he began to die. My words. And he's suffering there and he's beside himself. There's no relief. You got no relief. If you're in the devil, if you're in the will of the flesh right here, you have no relief. You got no help. But when you begin cracking that door, when you begin responding to that knock on the door right here, when that door begins opening up right here, relief is coming. It's on its way. And Zeezrom is laying there in his bed. And he hears a message. He hears the news. Alma and Amulek, I think the guys right here, Alma and Amulek are out there round about. They are? My enemies? Yeah, your enemies. The men that I warred with and I hated? Yeah, they're there. Tell them to come here. They laid hands on him and they said, do you believe the power of God to deliver you from hell? I believe. And he was reconciled. Reconciled to God. Did it change him? It changed him. Changes his eternal address in favor of God. By the mercy of God. And my last person there is Paul. Paul is going about killing people and hailing them and hauling off to prison and no telling what happens in prison. And he don't care because I'm going to stamp these Christians out. And his endeavor to stamp him out, he's on his way for letters to Ephesus or wherever it was, to wherever that town is. He's on his way, Damascus. He's on his way to Damascus. And the Lord comes down in his mercy of power and slaps him to the earth right there, and he's blind. And he sees, he can't see anything, and he knows nothing, but he hears a voice. And the Lord asks him, he says, Paul, he says, who art thou, Lord? He says, I'm the one that you persecute. I'm the one that you've been against. What it says in the Bible, and I've described this before, but if you haven't heard it right here, in Bible times, and this time I've even actually seen it right here, when a big old ox or a horse is pulling a wagon, they're pulling that wagon there, and right behind that oxen's legs is an ox goad. They call it in Bible times a prick. And that thing sticks out. And so that horse, as he's lumbering on and he's pulling that cart right there, as he pulls that cart there, he may have in his animal mind right here, he says, I don't like these ox cart any longer. And so he did kick those traces off. Many a trailer has become separated from the ox or from the horse by them kicking the traces off. Well, some smart farmer discovered that if you put an ox goad, a thorn, right there, when he kicks, ooh, and he rams his leg against that ox goad there, he learns real quick what? Don't be kicking. Paul was kicking against the Lord. There may be some of you right now who may be kicking against the Lord. I don't want to do it. I know he's talking to me. I know that's what he wants me to do, but I'm not going to do that. Kicking against the, and that's what the Lord told Paul right here. He says, I'm the one that you're kicking against. What do you want me to do, Lord? It'll be told you. And he went into town, and a man by the name of, I think it was Ananias, laid hands on him, that he became a changed man. He was addressed by God, but he had to make a decision. Am I going to serve the Lord, or am I going to continue suffering the prick kicks? So what is my little last little thought right here is, what is the symbol of your reconciliation? What is it that God has done and you're not doing any longer? Cody, can I embarrass you?
Sure.
He was right here before Sunday school class. And you said there was two issues right here that the Lord overcome. Two little sins, right? That shows me that there's some reconciliation cooking. I know what I got to do. I've got an issue right here. I've got to come against that. I've got to do something with this. Lord, help me. He said, do you really want me to help me? Yes, come in. The door opens up and he comes in. There will be reconciliation if he's invited. That's how he's working. He's working in us. And if we're responding, if we're moving, in other words, if I'm a jealous person, if I'm not praying about that, I'm not going to overcome jealousy. If I'm an angry person, if I'm not working on, Lord, show me the way to a soft and gentle response, I can't get there. If I'm a person right here who is hard-headed and can't see the right way to go, and I refuse the right thing to do right here, I'm not reconciled to the Lord. But he's talking to me. And when he talks to us right here, there is something going to happen. I love hearing your testimonies. I love hearing it when you say right here that I have at least one little sin, two little sins I have overcome by the power of God. Not us, but it's by his grace. And so, what is that most favorite scripture of all time, of all Christians? What is it? It's in the New Testament. For what? For God what? So, that he did what? That what? But have? It's ours. We can have it. We've got to desire it, and it's like hard work. But the Lord does not, like with Alma right here, he does not ask anything unless he first ensures the way can be done. God bless you.